Hello and thank you for downloading Witness from the BBC World Service. Today we're going back 125 years to late Victorian England, where a serial killer is on the loose. Using press reports from the time, Simon Watts tells the true story of Jack the Ripper.
It's September 1888 and the papers publish a sensational letter purporting to be from a murderer stalking the streets of the East End of London.
Dear boss, I keep hearing the police have caught me, but they won't fix me just yet. I'm down on whores and I shan't stop ripping till I do get buckled. Grand work the last job was. I gave the lady no time to squeal. How can they catch me now? I love my work and want to start again. You will soon hear of me and my funny little games. The next job I do, I shall clip the lady's ears off and send them to the police just for a jolly, wouldn't you? My knife's so nice and sharp. I want to get to work right away if I get a chance. Good luck. Jack the Ripper.
Even at the time, there were doubts about whether this letter was genuine, but it gave the killer a name that stuck. Jack the Ripper committed his murders in an area known as the Evil Quarter Mile, where drunks, prostitutes and criminals lived in a warren of alleyways and lodging houses. He'd first struck on the 31st of August, leaving his victim, Mary Ann Nichols, in a dark back street called Buck's Row. She was found in the early hours of the morning by two tradesmen.
They went over and they saw that it was a woman lying on the ground, and they very quickly ascertained that she was either drunk or she was dead. And at that point, one of them leant over and he pushed his ear to her mouth to hear if she was breathing. And as he did so, he touched her chest and it moved very slightly. And he said, I think she's breathing, but very little if she is.
Tour guide and Ripper expert Richard Jones.
They were late for work, and if she was dead, there was nothing they could do. So they pulled the skirts down. Her skirts were up around her waist, and they pulled the skirts down, and they went on her way. And they vowed they would tell the first policeman they met of what they'd found. PC Neil came down Buck's Row, and he had a lantern, and he shone his lantern onto the woman, and he saw that the throat had been cut. And then there were sort of quite horrible mutilations to the body that were discovered later.
Just a week afterwards, another prostitute, Annie Chapman, was killed in almost identical circumstances.
The Star, 8th of September 1888. London lies today under the spell of a great terror. A nameless reprobate, half beast, half man, is at large, who is daily gratifying his murderous instincts on the most miserable and defenceless class of the community. The ghoul-like creature who stalks through the streets of London, stalking down his victim like a Red Indian, is simply drunk with blood, and he will have more.
At the time, the East End of London was a hotbed of social unrest, so the police put huge resources into trying to find the killer. They started by questioning the hundreds of prostitutes working in the Evil Quarter Mile.
Straight away, the prostitutes began talking about a character who they nicknamed Leather Apron. And apparently he was running an extortion racket. He would pull out a knife and threaten to rip them apart if they didn't give him their money. Unfortunately, they couldn't describe him very well. The only physical description was that he sometimes wore a deerstalker hat and he always wore a leather apron.
The police were worried that Leather Apron could be Jewish and that if he was arrested, riots could break out. But to their relief, when they eventually found him, Leather Apron turned out to have an alibi. Then, at the end of September, the real Ripper struck again, twice.
The Star, 1st of October 1888. The terror of Whitechapel has walked again, and this time has marked down two victims.
A man named Louis Deemshutz, the steward of a club in Dutfield Yard. 1 o'clock in the morning, he turned his horse and cart, or pony and cart, into the yard. And as he did so, his pony shied. Something had disturbed the animal, so he looked into the darkness, and he saw something lying on the ground, and it was a woman. For some reason, he goes into the club. He goes to other club members and he says, there's a woman outside. She's dead or she's drunk. I'm not certain which. And so they go out and they've got lights with them and they see what he missed, that the woman's throat had been cut. But there were no mutilations. So the police believe that what happened there was Deemshoots interrupted the killer in the act of murder.
And within a matter of minutes, Jack the Ripper struck again.
He met another prostitute who'd just been released from police custody, a lady named Catherine Eddowes, took her into Mitre Square. And we know that she was seen by a witness at 1:30 outside Mitre Square. And at 1:45, P.C. Watkins went into the square, shone his lantern into the corner, and he saw her body, and it was a horrifically mutilated body.
So he was incredibly close. Incredible. To being caught.
If you consider it, we know she was alive at 1:30. We know her body was found at 1:45. When P.C. Watkins found the body, he blew his whistle. So the whole of the area, police were running to it. And yet the Ripper escaped into the very area from where the police were coming from.
The double murder was a sensation, making the headlines not just in Britain, but around the world. In London, thousands of people went to the East End to see the scene for themselves. Even Queen Victoria got involved.
The Queen thinks that in the small area where these horrible crimes have been perpetuated, a great number of detectives might be employed and that every possible suggestion might be carefully examined and, if practicable, followed. Have the cattle boats and passenger boats been examined? Has any investigation been made as to the number of single men occupying rooms to themselves? The murderer's clothes must be saturated with blood and kept somewhere. Is there sufficient surveillance at night? These are some of the questions that occur to the Queen on reading the accounts of these horrible crimes.
The police were under such pressure that they panicked and released the Jack the Ripper letter despite deep misgivings. And around this time, they heard from him again in what became known as the Saucy Jack postcard.
I was not kidding, dear old boss, when I gave you the tip. Number one squealed a bit, couldn't finish her straight off. Not the time to get ears for police. Thanks for keeping last letter back till I got to work again. Jack the Ripper.
After the double murder, the killer laid low to avoid the police and vigilante patrols which had started in the East End. But after a few months, he judged that it was safe to strike again.
So Mary Kelly, she's actually the youngest of the victims. We think she was 25. She's also the only one who had her own room in a place called Miller's Court off Dorset Street. So she's the only one who's murdered indoors. And she's the most gruesome of the killings. I mean, John McCarthy, her landlord, said, "The sight that I saw, I cannot drive from my mind. It looked more like the work of a devil than the work of a man." And she's generally thought to have been the last of his killings.
Although this seems to have been Jack the Ripper's last murder, he continued to fascinate Victorian England.
Well, for a start, he was the world's first media murderer. There were serial killers before him, but he's the first one that the press started to get an idea of just how powerful they can be. And so you've got this huge amount of sort of press speculation. And when they found out that anything to do with the killing sold newspapers, then they were desperate to get information. But everybody had an agenda as far as the killings were concerned. The philanthropists saw it as a means of exposing the social conditions in the East End of London. The racist element of society sort of as of a good way of sort of criticising the immigration problem. The radical press saw it as a great way of getting back at the police. So everybody had this agenda on it.
Another reason the Jack the Ripper story has proved so enduring is that the crime has never been solved. The key evidence was destroyed, and there are now dozens of theories about who the killer might have been, ranging from East End immigrants to Victorian aristocrats.
Simon Watts. For details of our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.